a proud member of this community for over 30 years, and as such, we care deeply about the future of Portland. However, the future seems a bit cloudy at the moment. You may also know that we are the city's largest water customer. We have worked hard to address this use through water conservation efforts. And since 1999, we have successfully reduced our water use by 25%. Unfortunately, these conservation efforts have not reduced our water costs. In fact, since 1999, our water costs have increased more than 140%. This increase is directly attributable to an almost 200% increase in water rates. So in short, these rate increases are far outstripping our ability to control costs. In addition, the rapid escalation in water rates is expected to continue at about 64% over the next 4 years, due in part to the subject reservoir projects. A graph of this rate projection looks like the proverbial hockey stick, a hockey stick that's about to hurt Portland ratepayers. Well, that's a lot of percentages, but what does that really mean in terms of dollar and cents? In Portland, where water is a plentiful and renewable resource, the cost per 100 cubic feet has gone from less than a dollar in 1999 to over $5 by 2016. That's more than five times increase. As a point of reference, gasoline, a non-renewable resource, has only gone up 2.5 times since 1999. So, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. These rate increases are a major concern for us, for our employees, for other employers in the state and in the city, and for other residents. So what's really important is that these reservoir projects, they're unnecessary costs that will hurt, not help Portland. The projects will continue to add to the long-term fixed cost structure of the Water Bureau. This is an unsustainable financial condition, and it prevents consumers from reducing their water costs, even if they conserve. So what's the city to do about this?
Your time's up, sir, so summarize, please.
Summarize quickly. One last point would be to address Commissioner Saltzman's point about backfilling. If we don't do these reservoir projects, backfilling with projects that are not necessary will only continue the rate increases. It won't give us any rate relief. So we believe this is the right thing to do for the people of Portland.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next four, please.
Dr. Theodora Tsongas, Nancy Newell, Cherry Lambert Holenstein, and Rosemarie Opp. And the last two people I have signed up are Carol Adler and Michael Morgan.
Hi, welcome back. Would you like to begin, ma'am?
Yeah.
Would you like to begin?
Why don't you go ahead and do it in order and then call.
Would you begin, please?
Oh, all right. Cherry Lambert Holenstein. One of the whereas in your resolution references Senator Charles Schumer's New York request to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson and her reply that EPA would review the LT2 rule and that other options would be considered. This resolution before us really ignores this and instead offers a feel-good measure to the public. If we have a mission concerning our precious Bowen water, that mission is to protect, not compromise, not rationalize. That mission is to seek a waiver. Henry Adams wrote that men invariably follow interest in deciding moral issues. This is a moral issue also. Let your interests be not self-interest, rather ones that are enlightened. If any of you want to leave a legacy, a lasting legacy that all will respect, others have set an example. President Benjamin Harrison, the engineer Ben Morrow, Joe Miller, Ralph Crashaw, Virginia Cook, Don Cook, Frank Gearhart, and many more. Elizabeth Janeway, in 1980, was asked to contribute to a commission collection on essays on basic things. And she said that civilization takes water for granted, but that is civilization's mistake. I kind of mumbled that one. Civilization takes water for granted, but that is civilization's mistake. And she also mentioned that we ought to have a water festival, and I propose that instead of the Rose Festival. It would really involve everybody. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm Nancy Newell. I'm a longtime resident of Portland and been concerned about water for a considerable amount of time. I would like to know how many commissioners have toured the neighborhoods to see how many yellow tags are now on people's water source, which is where they cut it off if they can't pay their bills. The president, your own president, everybody here is still Democrats, initiated an order that applies directly to the LT2 rule, which is about economics. Life is based on water. Let's not kid ourselves in this room. Everything else is irrelevant. You won't have transport. You won't have health. You won't have a functioning community if you don't have an affordable water source. We have a wonderful system, a gravity system, one of the cheapest systems in the country, one of the most proven systems scientifically that it's healthy. What are we doing with it? Why are we tampering with it? Why have we seen corporate personhood create a rule that doesn't really have a strong basis in science? And I support that theory, and I think there should be a waiver requested, a full waiver by this, because you're just going to be spending more money and running around in circles trying to answer science that really is not true science in relation to our water, and destroy the quality of life, which is already falling apart in the city of Portland. People are vacating the city. They can't afford to live here anymore. They're being foreclosed on in their homes. They have yellow tags all over the city. Do a tour. I mean, what other signs do you need to delay these kind of projects and turn it around on the benefit of the very life source? Our children can't even drink water in schools now. I mean, that's absurd. How are they going to have a proper education if they can't think straight? Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, my name is Rosemarie Opp. I'm here today knowing full well that really the five of you haven't really been the best stewards here of our Bull Run water system. It's very disappointing, and as Nancy has mentioned, the value of our drinking water is at stake here. You have not kept up on the maintenance of this wonderful system that has worked for 100 years. Instead, we've been seeing that you're working really for corporations, certain ones, and for a new corporate design system, apparently, that has not been proven out. This just is looking like another one of these ubiquitous public-private partnerships where the public is continuing to pay and pay and pay, and even as Commissioner Salzman brought up this morning. Let's put this one aside, but boy, I couldn't believe the list that David Schaff brought up of new capital projects. So one way or another, you want to extract more money from the public on this. And then private is gaining and gaining and gaining. That's the game here. And Leonard and his water bureau continually get whatever they want here, it seems like, to spend and continue spending. Okay, that's the finances. That is a downward spiral for our community. The other thing that really does very much upset me is about the health of our water. Our water is going to be seriously degraded if we do not ask for this waiver. I go along completely with those who've asked for the waiver. Scott Fernandez has asked for a waiver, and quite frankly, it should lead to a repeal of this LT2 rule. The citizens need to know that if we don't stop this, we need a moratorium on all of this, the spending and all these other superfluous projects here. Toxic chemicals will be added to our drinking water. Radon is a very serious
issue.
Need
you to wrap up.
And so I'm just asking for the five of you to, you know, have a conscience here about what you're asking. You're asking us
Thank
to
you.
Swallow more money and toxic chemicals unless you stop it. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, good morning. I'm Dr. Theodora Songas, and I'd like to read into the record a letter from Thomas T. Ward, MD, Infectious Diseases Fellowship Director, Chair of Microbiology Medical School Curriculum at the Oregon Health Sciences University. Dear Mary Adams and Commissioners Leonard, Saltzman, Fritz, and Fish, I'm writing in support of the city request of the same consideration from the Federal Environmental Protection Agency as New York City to evaluate alternative compliance options for the uncovered finished drinking water requirements of the LT2 rule. Specifically, I encourage the city to have the compliance schedule for the uncovered reservoirs extended to commence in 2020 and to end in 2034. It is my professional belief that there is both sufficient water quality data and excellent epidemiologic data supporting the lack of risk of waterborne illness due to Cryptosporidium and other potential enteric pathogens in our water supply. through advanced methodology testing of over 7,000 liters of water samples taken from the city's open reservoirs in 2009, the city has shown that not one cryptosporidium oocyst could be demonstrated. There is no scientific evidence that either installation of source water treatment or covering or treating the open reservoirs is likely to have any demonstrable public health benefit, despite the massive cost of such projects. I remain very impressed by and appreciative of the efforts of the Portland Water Bureau and our local and state public health officials in rigorously protecting the safety of citizens served by the Bull Run system and area reservoirs. I agree very much with Dr. Ward's letter, and I support a timeline that does not begin planning of LT2 projects before 2020. I also support the citizens' alternative resolution. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Anybody else?
Yes, the last two were Carol Adler and Michael Morgan.
Ms. Adler, Mr. Morgan, thanks for your patience. Welcome. Ms. Morgan.
Adler.
Ms. Adler. Mr. Morgan. Ms. Adler, sorry.
I have lived for the past 20 years up in Arlington Heights, and for a long time I enjoyed the reservoir, and I don't remember what year it was that Councillor Saltzman started his covering of the reservoir. Without any public notification or meeting, and it seems to me that, you know, that's continued. I don't know what it is with the Water Bureau. They don't want us to have any input. They want to just do what they want to do, and what they've done is a disaster. I mean, what we look at up there now is ugly metal stuff that got stuck up there before the project ended, and dirty lining, and right now it's empty. It just seems to me that there should be some control on what the Water Bureau does all by itself without the public having any input. I mean, when they finally did demand input, we managed to stop it, but it already had, you know, gone too far and cost a lot of money and a lot of money lost because there was all this equipment that you couldn't get rid of. I don't know whether you finally did manage to sell it on,
eBay,
yeah. But this is more of the same. I mean, there are so many projects that are not essential, but you just want to do. And with our money... And I think there are a lot of us that are getting really, really tired of that. I wish there would be a little more public exposure to what the Water Bureau does. And I hope y'all...
Thanks for your testimony. Appreciate you being here. Mr. Morgan.
Based on the statements by Dr. Thomas Ward at OHSU and Dr. Gary Oxman, apparently, there are no health reasons to expedite compliance to the LT2 rule. However, there are reasons to delay compliance to the year 2034. One is that it would allow more time for science to prevail on the open reservoir issue. It would allow more time for data to be collected, for data collection, testing, and analytical methods to evolve, and for people to shift their opinions to conform to the science. This appears to be part of New York City's rationale because they submitted substantive, detailed comments and objections to the LT2 open reservoir requirements in response to President Obama's invitation to comment on streamlining or eliminating unduly burdensome federal regulations after submitting a scientific data document with their request for a compliance deferral in 2008. And we've already seen the testing for cryptosporidium improved beyond the testing method specified in the Bull Run source water LT2 treatment variance conditions. Another reason to ask to postpone compliance to 2034 is that it would provide enough time to stop all work on replacing the open reservoirs, including terminating all related consultant contracts. It is not logical to do work on the projects we do not know we will be required to do. Let the Water Bureau get rid of the projects and consultants and direct its efforts toward avoiding the LT2 projects. Another is that it would allow for delays in the Environmental Protection Agency schedule to review the LT2 rule. Projected schedules are often delayed, and I read, in fact, that promulgation of the LT2 rule was delayed, and they might not feel very much pressure to complete the review, and New York City's compliance deadline will still be distant, and we certainly want to avoid being in a position where we would need to do work to comply with a possible but still uncertain ruling. The Environmental Protection Agency would be under some pressure to allow us
to wrap up
a deadline extension to 2034 to be consistent with its possible allowance of the same extension to New York City. So by all means, let us ask for it.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. All right, council discussion. Carla, can you please call the vote on the substituted resolution?
Fritz.
This is an important step, and it buys us time. That's the most crucial piece to me, that it buys us 6 years of time. There's no money for any LTT work in the 12-13 budget, and if the EPA, if the Oregon Health Authority accepts this request, we will be able to continue working to change the LCT rules altogether. There will be public input on the projects list and the rates every year, and that's a different discussion. To me, at least we will know that the projects we're doing will benefit us, whereas there is questions about whether the LCT compliance will benefit us at all. We can ask for another amendment if, for various reasons. And we've already adopted the policy statement in the 2012 federal legislative agenda, which says that we will work diligently with the congressional delegation and the EPA to pursue relief from raw water treatment and storage requirements of the federal long-term 2 enhanced surface water treatment rule for Portland's drinking water system. And we're asking the delegation for assistance for the same considerations of New York. So this is adopted city policy. I do believe that we need some additional discussions on policy to make it very clear that we are all on the same page. It's interesting that this hearing sounds like we have a lot of disagreements. I don't think we do. I think we all want to avoid complying, avoid having to build unnecessary treatment facilities. And we want to make sure that ratepayers' money is wisely spent, and we want to keep the rates as low as possible. And I believe that this resolution does take an important step in achieving all of those goals. I especially appreciate David Schaff, who's been working diligently on this, and we'll be looking carefully at the letter as it's submitted. This resolution sets the policy for what the letter will say, and as I say, it's a first step. We will be able to continue, and we should continue, having the remarkable degree of public engagement on this issue, because we are all in this together, and I believe, as I said, that we do have a lot of agreements. So thanks to Commissioner Leonard and to everybody who's participated in this process. Aye.
Fish?
Commissioner Fritz has essentially given the remarks that I intended to give, so I will associate myself with her remarks. I appreciate the fact that Commissioner Leonard brought his resolution forward and has modified it based on some feedback he got from his colleagues. I appreciate the presentation by staff. And I, too, was struck by the fact that there is more that we agree on than we disagree on. And while I believe it is the right and responsibility of advocates to push, and where there is any remaining disagreement, build a record, and I think you've done that, and you put documents in the record. And frankly, some of the items that were on the citizens' alternative resolution are now currently in the record. You've either put them in the record today, or they are documents previously placed in the record, and so you have every right to cite to them as we go forward. You have created a legislative record around issues you care about. So I do believe And I hope people don't get the wrong impression here. I think this council has been extremely responsive to many of the issues that my friends here have raised. Well, you're free to laugh, and we all have our view, but I actually prefer a more respectful dialogue on this, and I think there has been a lot of progress working together. So this resolution does not preclude us coming back at some point and revisiting it. And frankly, in fairness, a number of the issues raised about capital projects are not germane to this resolution, and we can have that discussion on an ongoing basis. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I support the timelines outlined in this resolution. I think they strike a good balance between seeing what EPA is going to do on its rulemaking and by the same time buying us more time, but doing it per the instructions of EPA in its rulemaking and correspondence with the City of Portland and also with New York City. I do question, and I will flag this now with the budget, for the budget process, whether backfilling with projects that are not mission critical to LT2 is appropriate at this time and, you know, until our economy revs up again. So that is something I will want more information, you know, which projects really are critical. I tend to think the Willamette River Crossing seismic upgrades are appropriate, but I'm not convinced that pump stations and other things necessarily are. And so I will be looking at the rates when we do our budget process around those more closely. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
To be clear, the statement in terms of our position with the federal government is contained in the, and that's where it should be and is contained in the federal council-approved federal lobbying strategy that the council adopted and amended, taking in comments from a number of people that are here again today, and I appreciate your dialogue on that. I'm going to approve this. I'm going to support this. And I want to thank Commissioner Leonard for his leadership on this. I want to thank his staff. And there'll be opportunities for the city to continue to benefit from having one of the nation's most powerful senators who cares about a very similar issue in his state. And our federal delegation that I met with week before last to talk about this issue as part of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. We're one of two cities in the entire United States in terms of major cities that has actually had some success in pushing back. So I want to thank you all for your advocacy on this issue as well. And the work continues. Aye. So approved. We are in recess until 2 p.m.